are going to come out of recess because Mr. Metlarz has honored us with his presence. And who wants to start the discussion on utilities? Mr. Metlarz, do you want to do a brief review of some kind, or how do you want to?
Obviously, the engineering department has reviewed the utility segment. We offered some written comments. We made some revisions. I still feel, and I think discussing this with the chairman, we still feel that some of the statistical data embedded in this is somewhat static, is probably the right way to put it, and is really a state's data source driven. So I believe that it does not add anything for our citizens, but you know, like, obviously that's my personal opinion, not the engineering department's opinion. And then other than that, I wanted to really make sort of a statement with regards to the sewer district capacities, and that's probably the biggest issue we discussed, and I feel. And can you scroll to that section, Alexis, please?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Yeah.
And while we wait, there's, you know, like you have had the discussion and we introduced and you sort of embraced the tiered approach versus the sewer district planning area approach. So we have now a much more diversified five-tier system. Chairman had a chance to review the tier map, and we sort of discussed the benefits of having the map included versus not included in the document.
What was your thoughts on it?
Curious what the thoughts are, because right now I don't have it included, and I just referenced that it's in your office.
Yeah, so there's obviously an opportunity. I don't want it to become so that every time a tier line is moved, that it will require a comp plan amendment.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking.
So if we can, if it's an, let's call it, off-record document, then that would become a, you know, like a livable document. It can be online. It can be part of the online mapping system, which I think it should be. But to include the static version in the document, I probably would lean against that. As long as we have, you know, like as long as you embrace and the comp plan embraces the underlying approach to create the tiers. So that allows, you know, the Planning Commission to make requests to change at any given time, or the Council to change at any given time. And then the online version of reflects the current desires of the land use, because it's a land use document. It's really not a sewer document.
But how does that work? So right now we've got in Chapter 110, we've got, it's tied for like the particulars for the CPCN reviews, but that's tied to primary service areas, private community, well, primary and secondary sewer service areas. Is that different from?
Yes, it is. It is, and you and I touched on this, you know, like that's, I wish we could stick it in the current 110 revisions, but as soon as the plan becomes official, not even maybe a strategy, but it's almost like a mandate for us to go and make that 110 change. And that's a 110 change, and Vince, you may or may not today feel comfortable, it is partially a land use issue, so it probably should go to the Planning Commission, but how do you feel before it gets recommended to the...
Legally it doesn't have to, because that all comes under 110.
I know it doesn't.
The council. Yeah.
That's why I'm sitting on that fence here.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice if it came with an endorsement.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to say it shouldn't go to the commission, just so much of it's technically based on, you know, engineering and where CPCNs are, and so we would heavily rely on, you know, you and the engineering department about where the map should be drawn, you know. I don't have any concern about it coming to the commission so they have knowledge of it, because it certainly plays into land use decisions.
Well, I'm in agreement with Hans to keep the map itself out of
the conference. Yeah, because we also have to give it to, well, we did with the planning areas. We had to give that to the, I'm drawing a blank on the letters. The Public Service Commission. Gosh, right, you know. So they have a copy of it, and we'd have to, I would imagine, give them a copy of this and update that with them as we do it. But I agree, not because that's different than going through the comp plan. The comp plan
looks like the housing, where they've identified needs for, you know, rental or affordable housing. That map's not going to be in a comp plan,
right,
but we're going to use
it
as a reference document.
Yeah.
And I think we should use this map as a reference document, and we should note that in the formulation of the comp plan, that we've used the map as a reference document, as a source, okay? Not a singular source to determine the future land use maps, but as a point, a part of data point.
Yeah, and
that we've used
all those different layers that
and,
were.
And then within the narrative of the utilities, we will be embracing the tier portion, so it will be, the tiers will be in the comp plan, both in utilities. We may even mention it within the future land use element. Is that enough?
That's what I envision, but you know, like I'm not making these decisions. It's you make the decisions. If you want the map in there, the map goes in there.
No, I agree with Mr. Ross and Mr. Medlars. It shouldn't. We don't need to have it in the plan, but it should be referenced in the plan. We should say where it can be seen if somebody wants to go look at it. I mean, it's not that it's a secret. It's just not a land use plan map. It's a reference map, you know, for that element, because it's very specialized. Really, when you think about it, it's a specialized map. It really isn't a overall, you know, guiding document, and it's not a force of law map. So it really doesn't need to be in the plan.
And as we, as I understand it, as we move forward cooperatively with the private water and sewer providers, you know, you have to provide the flexibility for that map to change between the 10-year and 10-year anniversary
date. Yeah, it's dynamic.
It's too dynamic to include as a static map in the comp plan, because that becomes an issue of reopening the comp plan to change, and it's too difficult to work with. So,
having said this, you know, like I think we looks like we're in agreement. I'm actually comfortable with the fact that you see it similarly, and so we will let's go back to the 110 issue then. Vince, do you think it should be in the strategies that we set this as a short-term goal to amend then the 110?
Yeah, because if you're going to have that, and that's different than the code now, it should be amend chapter 110 to reflect the tiers versus the service planning areas.
Where would that go within our goals and objectives?
It's almost like a standalone, because it's an administrative one.
It's really an administrative action.
I would almost see it as a subsequent comp plan implementation step.
Well, I don't know. I think it's under 8.1. You just add it as... you know, because that talks about optimizing. Well, I guess it would be a separate objective, maybe, and a separate strategy, both almost the same. Because that's talking about ensuring adequate central sanitary sewer service and a coordinated approach that anticipates future demand. And to do that, we need to change 110. So just
you might want to just add one to that objective and make an 8.1.5.2. Is that right? Oh, I got the wrong, 8.16.
And then chapter 110 to reflect the planning area tiers.
Yeah, the planning areas or the
planning tiers.
Can you read that out loud again so Hans can hear it and make sure you're happy?
Amend chapter 110 of county code to reflect the planning sewer planning tiers.
Reflect the sewer service tier system versus the current planning area approach.
Right.
And that's really what we have. We have planning areas, first and secondary planning areas. Well, primary and secondary planning areas.
Everybody okay with that on the commission?
Yeah.
Right. So, Alexis, if you please, then once you make your notes on that, let's finish.
Yep, will do.
Let's go to this where we have provided the projection of the EDUs for the various areas.
Right here?
Yes.
Okay.
And the question came up, if you added all these numbers up, they're way exceed our current accounts. Affirmative.
Current counts or current capacity?
No, current accounts.
Oh, accounts.
Accounts.
Okay, all right.
In each individual area. And the reason for that is, and I want to make sure that everybody understands this and whether they want it changed or not. When you look at an area as it is established as a sewer district, the EDUs are developed based on maximum allowable number based on zoning. So there is has nothing to do with capacity, has nothing to do with existing accounts, has everything to do with what does that particular area under its zoning today allow you to have in totality. And if you look at it from that standpoint, numbers, you know, like if you know this, then the numbers look reasonable. If you don't know that, then the numbers just look large. So I wanted to throw that out there and make sure everybody understands what that means. Because this is a land use document. That's why we're using a land use tool to give you essentially land use numbers. They're not engineering numbers.
And now you're taking about, what, 75% of that underlying zoning EDU count, or are you taking 100% of the underlying zoning?
if we do actually a design of one of our own, we take the open, the non-developed space just the same way. So let's say we create a new sewer district right now in North Angola, and there happen to be a few non-developed parcels in there. These non-developed parcels are carried just like it's represented here. But it's just a small number of non-developed parcels, so North Angola is still a reasonable number overall. But when you look at it strictly from a land use standpoint, and you don't look at what is currently developed in, let's say, West Rehoboth, if you just take West Rehoboth in its entirety, and if you tore everything down which is there and build it up new based on zoning, and you maximized it regardless of setbacks, bulk standards, etc., that's the number you would come up with.
And you all, just because the commission doesn't do it, when we say West Rehoboth for sewer, that's not physically West Rehoboth. It extends all the way up to Milton and down to Dewey. And so, that's a large geographical area, too.
But so built in, there's adequate built-in planning for sewer to accept higher densities, if we so choose, or infill and redevelopment, that sort of thing.
I sort of expected that question because you asked me earlier. And that is true, because when we do approach the Ordinance 38 projects, which are projects which are driven by not the county need like North Angola, but by development desires, then they are built and designed based on very high peak factors and very high per unit flow rates, which have a built-in reserve capacity. So in the 20 months in my service now, I have not yet run into, I think, but one bottleneck. So it's very rare. It happens, but it's rare.
And those could be corrected. They take money, but bottlenecks can be corrected.
This one is a tough one to correct, but it can be corrected. Right.
So I guess as it pertains to our other discussion on future land use, you know, as we want to reference, addressing building heights or densities, at least we can rest easy that the sewer capacity is not a limiting factor in that. It would be more of a policy decision than an engineering-type decision.
I would love for this commission and the council to make land use decision not based on sewer.
It's interconnected.
Can I ask it another way? Is that loving to do it is one thing, but is it feasible to do it without taking into account sewer?
Counselor, it is, because you remember in the world of utilities, there's three answers to the question. Yes, we have capacity. No, we have no capacity because you're in sewer Siberia, Tier 5, we will never have capacity. And yes, with improvements.
Right.
So here's your three answers.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, and I guess it's the third answer, and maybe the second. The second one is you're in sewer Siberia. How much money do you have to run a real long pipe? You know.
I mean, but if it's in tier 4 or 5, we are not interested.
No, I know. But so the third one, you could say, all right, how much is it going to cost? You know. So.
But you, if I may interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to understand. So.
Let's just say you make a decision and allow a land use to proceed where they later come to you and say, oh, you approved something which is essentially not implementable because the unit cost is too high. No harm done.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get built. Yeah. Well, and within the strategies, we're talking about better coordination with Public Service Commission and approval of CPCNs and a voluntary abandonment? What was the language about?
When we're in this tier three area where we have the cooperation, we have already executed an agreement with Artesian Wastewater Resources, and we eventually could have one with Tidewater based on best available utilization of existing infrastructure, which would allow us to coordinate, which could include abandonment of CPCNs. And, it has happened. It may happen in the future. It's not something you can force, but you can do it voluntarily.
Sure. And that would be in looking at that in a Tier 5 area. So we wouldn't necessarily be...
No, that would be Tier 5, right?
That would be Tier 3.
Tier 3. So, you know, we wouldn't be moving in a direction of telling people you can't build in a Tier 3 area, but because of the incentives of the density in central sewer and the lack of regulatory limits on a Tier 3 area on-site system, that kind of would guide the growth, you know, towards those growth areas that we've designed, which are, and I know you don't want to use sewer as the method, but you know that's a primary incentive for building in the growth area where the central sewer and water is located. So it is almost impossible, Hans, I think, in planning to ignore the availability or the planning of central sewer and water. It has too much of an impact on the build out of the land use.
I think the entities coming before you, Mr. Chairman, will certainly try to weigh the infrastructure unit cost.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will be deterred before they appear before you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because it doesn't do anybody any good to use the scenario that Hans talked about where they propose something and the per unit cost makes it non-feasible. Then we've all wasted all our time. Hopefully they'll have done that math.
And that's beforehand. Where I was going. They're going to do that analysis and they're going to look at Tier 3, they're going to look at the other tiers, and they're going to say, well, why should I even try here? I can do so much better over here. And if we coordinate our future land use maps with that, and in considering the sewer water, not solely using that as a determination, then it's just going to work itself out without having to have some draconian regulatory environment. It's just going to gravitate that way.
If I may use the example we just have presented to council last Tuesday, and that is out of your jurisdiction, that's why it's a good example. It happened in the town of Bethany, where they have land use authority. It was a, obviously, county sewer district. And the issue before council was the approval of a existing infrastructure use agreement. And the question from Councilman Cole, are we shortchanging the other rights of the other owners, of the sewer rights within the district? And the answer to that question, my answer to that question was, the district is essentially built out. So this particular parcel, which was approved for a higher land use by the town council and the town planning commission, came before us and said, can that higher land use be accommodated from an infrastructure standpoint, i.e. sewer? And we said, yes, it can. We have, strangely enough, we had the built-in capacity, but we feel we, the people who paid for it through that debt service over 20 years, should be reimbursed for the fact that it was paid for and installed by the original Bethany Beach Sewer District. So we, on above and beyond the sewer connection charges, which are imposed on any EDU, the engineering department recommended that it would only be approved by council if a infrastructure use agreement is executed on top of the SCCs. Now, with that explanation, Mr. Cole was comfortable, and he proceeded. So I see the same thing coming through if you did something like that. You know, it would come before you for the land use, and it would come before the commissioners, the county commissioners, as a infrastructure use. Essentially, it's a clawback, I want to call it, because the existing users have put the infrastructure in and paid for it.
They subsidized the investment.
Because they paid for that design, which you see here on this on that page. And I want that codified also, but that's not a land use thing. That shouldn't go.
Yeah, that's one that needs to be in 110. Yeah.
But that, you know, right now we can only get this with voluntary compliance, but the answer otherwise would be no. We're not going to let you in on it.
Yeah.
But we'd like to see it codified just like this needs to be codified on the on the tier system.
Okay. Are we good with that conversation, an extension of that conversation? I noticed, Hans, that the peak usage rates were double or more than the low usage rates. And, you know, we have an ongoing debate about population, how many people are here or not. I know Ocean City uses, I jokingly refer to it, they count flushes. But I'm not as a definitive measurement, but is that indicative of population? Can we somehow connect that to how many part-time residents are here just by, you know, using a known number of EDUs versus flushes for to get a litmus test of that summer population?
We use it especially for peak day events, because, you know, sewer, like electric, is one of these utilities where you have to meet instantaneous peak demand. It's got to go from point A to point B, and it's got to go out the other end of the pipe. Electric is less forgiving even than sewer, but sewer is pretty unforgiving. Water and gas have built-in storage capacities. Sewer and electric don't. So we look at the always, we look at the July 4th weekend is a great weekend for us to look at, and we track that pretty much on a year-to-year over year basis. Now, it is 100% indicative of use with one exception, and that's weather. You can only compare the same weather day, because if it's rainy, overcast, anything driving the use in a different direction throws it off, and we always make a footnote of what was the weather like for that particular July 4th weekend incident. So that gives us a pretty good idea where we stand year over year.
Yeah. And I mean, is it, if we gave you the full-time population in, say, January, right? I mean, is there a way to say, well, based on the amount of water treated in a given area, the full-time population in that given area in the off-peak months, you know, here's approximately how many people we have in the on-peak?
Mr. Chairman, doesn't work that it works the other way. I can probably tell you pretty well how many people spend time in West Rehoboth on July 4th weekend.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
Because that one we can relative, there's a fairly well established number, gallons per day per person,
right,
which it translates into.
I'd be interested, I think, hopefully, we would all be kind of interested in looking at that number.
But
are
that's
okay?
Gonna, but I think your questions is going towards population, but that's day trippers, that's...
Yes. That's hotel, it is, hotel rooms, that's everything. That's,
yeah, people.
It is,
yeah.
It is, but, and I'm saying not as a definitive number, but just as another reference point in the discussion, you know, because we've got numbers this far apart on part-time population, not the full-time residents. We have numbers far apart projecting the yeah. primary residents in the future.
I agree with you, but I'm concerned that that's going to create such an outlier over here because it takes into account all the people that are visiting for the day, or you know what I mean. That's going to swing it way past even the.
It does. I mean, and again, I don't want to hang my hat and overcoat and shoes all on that pole, but. As we talk to Josh and the DLDOT and the mobility elements, you know, we have to build the case, or if we can't build the case, then it's FOSS of, you know, our infrastructure needs and mobility side, as well as the needs, a case for how much growth areas we need for expansion in the 10 and 30 year period. And it's just one source piece of information to indicate, you know, this air this way or not. Personally would like to see us better understand how other areas address their mobility problems, tourism areas address their mobility needs. We're not the only tourist area in the United States. They're being addressed somehow. And, you know, maybe we just need to approach USDOT, you know, to say, hey, you know, can you give special consideration considering that our population doubles or triples, you know, on this 6 month period. So I'm just kind of curious as to how that number would line up with our other sources of information. If it really is way out there, outlier, then maybe we just discard it. But if it's reasonably close, that might be useful to verify.
Remember, we can only tell you that by the areas we group into a wastewater plant. Okay. So that's why I was referring to the Wolf Neck number, because that sort of like gives us the... That's sort of the Route 1 corridor gives you probably a feel for what's going on.
Yeah. And they're not going to match up exactly with the data that we would get, you know, from census numbers or anything else. But
no, because
the West Rehoboth has a
substantial commercial aspect in it. So we would give you the equivalence population. Now you have to almost do it the other way around. You would have to pick the inland bays facility because it is a much more pure, still residential. Not that there's not business in there, but it's a lot less of business. You know, like, remember, we have a significant commercial component in that sewer flow.
Yeah, and then you would have to still, I'm just thinking through this, you would have to know the population in inland bays versus... Because that's a geographical area.
It doesn't follow the census.
Yeah, it doesn't
boundary.
Follow. So it's you're not,
it's not
getting
an apples
to apples.
To apples.
It's
yeah.
like a apples to a car tire.
I mean, but that's why I wanted. But that's why I wanted to compare that to the low end months. So you are comparing low end to high end. So you know how many people were flushing in January versus in that same district compared to flushing in July.
I could give you that number. That if we give you the. We give you the average day for January and compare it to the July weekend, mm-hmm. you probably get a percentage ratio
yeah.
of what's population-wise, what is permanent versus transient.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for, is that difference
okay.
within the sewer district,
yeah,
within
that,
any
no,
sewer district. You
helpful.
Might do it in all of the sewer districts
not,
and just
not the
compare those numbers.
The like commercial that. Element in South Coastal and in West Rehoboth throws it off.
Right. Yeah,
and you're
okay.
not interested in
gotcha.
The tax
no. Okay, well, you know the numbers better than us, but it would be nice to look at that. Right. It's a percentage thing. It's not an exact science.
We don't want to know Woodlands and Millsboro or Gulf Village.
Bethel
you know.
Doesn't
so Mark,
have sewer yet. So.
Marty, can I just ask a question? So the Delaware Population Consortium is going to be doing the seasonal projections for us. I'm just curious why we're looking at doing another set. We already have so many sets of projections.
Well, because we have two sets. We have one for Mr. Siegel and one from the Delaware Population Consortium, and they don't match up. And I'm just trying to get another data point to stick in there to see if it happens to correlate with one or the other. And I just like to look at data. Call me a numbers freak. The more data I have, the more comfortable I feel. Now, I might get the data and look at it and agree that, hey, sorry, I wasted your time, Hans. I'm sorry about that. Or I might look at the data and say, you know, this is somewhat useful on a percentage basis on this side of on the eastern side of the county. I've reviewed Mr. Siegel's, I've heard his presentation, I reviewed his book three times now, and I'm interested to see what the population consortium numbers are, but I'm feeling more comfortable with his numbers all the time, I'll tell you that. We can move on.
We have a couple more issues, right?
Yes.
Are you ready for the next topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it.
The next topic was the accuracy and validity of the the electric service territories. Chairman and I talked about it. Planning director and I talked about it. That needs to be, in my opinion, discussed today. Make sure that we all feel comfortable that we are arriving at that sort of through the back door. And Janelle, you want to piggyback on that, since you and I talked about what we have today and how comfortable you are with the display and should it be included or not?
And I've talked about it. We've been provided with information by Mr. Ross was able to get us information. We've also run it by the GIS department, and they also have some concerns about the validity of the data just because it some of it is outdated. So we have concerns about actually showing that in the plan, because we don't want to give anybody the wrong impression of where people's service areas are. Now, because we had a point in time that we were given, and we know it has been changed over time, and you know we've been working with the agencies to get that updated information. Some are more than willing to share it. Some are a little less reluctant to share it. So I have concerns about providing that information into the plan.
So that the same analogy as what you said about our tiers that we're not putting in there, we probably shouldn't put this in there as well.
Correct. We can reference it and say, you know, there's information available.
It's hard to come by.
It is very difficult to get.
So the issue is the DEC maps that they provided were done not on a GIS basis but on some other method?
No, they were done utilizing GIS, but they are not. They were a point in time, so they have not been updated, and they don't reflect the correct areas for all of the.
We only have it for one of I forget which of the one we have, and then we just assumed that the rest of the territory was the other. So I forget if we have the co-op or the other one, and we just.
You've got DP&L, I think.
Yeah, so then we had to make assumptions that if it wasn't DP&L, it was the co-op.
The key from the co-op, we don't have DP&L's information, and that is not. We have the co-op's information, and their information also referenced DP&L, but we do not have information from DP&L, and I nor the GIS people are comfortable going, that is 100% accurate.
You've got DEC's GPS service area, but you don't have DP&L's.
Correct, and it wouldn't be.
So you can't prove they match.
Right. Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're always going to be changing.
They're always changing. Yeah.
Certainly.
Maybe we should not
include them in the map and use it as a reference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we should probably reference the service areas in the language just as a.
And I think the narrative actually does a pretty good job of explaining service areas. And.
Yeah. I mean, it's at some juncture, I don't know if it's in the economic development or here, but we have to recognize the disparity in rates just as a fact, not necessarily to promote one over the other, just because of the impact it has on users, more so on commercial users.
I'm a little hesitant to do that.
Yeah, as am I, because the purpose of the plan is just to provide general information. We don't want to get into specific because we don't want the plan to look like we're favoring one over the other. And if we start saying somebody's got better rates than somebody else, then it looks like we're favoring somebody over somebody else. And I think that would
like Tidewater Artesian's rates or any other.
Yeah, it's like they provide services. We look to work with them to provide, you know.
But why does the plan say this? The Georgetown Fire Service is so much better than all the other ones.
Because you told
I don't remember that getting rid of
that. That wasn't in there. Is that in utilities? You snuck it in after we talked, right? Yeah.
Premier Fire Service.
Yeah. Well, it'll come out in the flush anyway. What's next, Hans?
The other two were two strategies in the aid section, aid 1.1 and aid 1.2. We wanted to discuss a little bit further because that was that had to do with the.
Water supply,
or the water supply side. Mr. Chairman, help me out here.
Must have been
8211.
8211. That's what it was. Okay. Yes. 8211 and 8212.
Okay.
That had.
I think 8211. We were thinking about just deleting that because we didn't want to get into.
Yeah.
The. Process of an inspection process by the county.
The inspection process is TMDL driven, and is the on-site regulations rest with the state. So
yeah.
I mean, I don't have the recollection what the discussion was, but I would agree with the chairman that it has some undesirable implications by us trying to insert some authority over the state process.
Right.
So okay. We would be deleting 8211
right.
And moving the others up.
Okay.
And then we did discuss, and we didn't put any language on it, Hans, but adding the a strategy that perhaps on the wellhead protection areas that forestry easements might be considered as a strategy to protect the wellhead protection area. We didn't put any language on it, though, I don't think.
No.
Could we tack it on to 8212?
The current wellhead protection
yes.
ordinance is very static and does, you know, like when we look at the wellhead protection, it is a radius around the wellhead, and it does not take into account groundwater movement. The NRC now does have most of these modeled, so and that means none of them look like a circle. They all look like sort of more like a teardrop, because you want your protection upstream of your groundwater movement to keep it out towards migrating towards your wellhead. So with the data available at the state level, and I double-checked it with John Brown, who is running that section for at least the next 2 days. He's about to retire. He may have already retired, Rodney may know. He was more than willing to help us with that. So we could develop somewhat more flexible language where we would look at it on a case-by-case basis on what is the underlying groundwater movement, and are you upstream or downstream of that movement, and do you really impact it or not?
My thought on that was, having gone through that, and I don't disagree with that, but it should be you all that makes that determination, because otherwise it becomes, I don't know, not political, I don't know, but just a public point of contention, you know, because we saw the wellhead protection become a point of argument for an application, you know, that wasn't necessarily based on science and engineering, you know, and that's why I'd like to have somebody independent of the developer in the opposition say, this is what it is, you know, and then.
And that would be the beauty of it. DNRC does have the groundwater models to affirmatively say, what is the general movement in this particular area, is it north to south, east to west, etc. So if you're infringing on a wellhead protection area, or if you are in a wellhead protection area, but but you're downstream of the overall groundwater movement, you know, this is much, much less of a concern. If you're upstream of the groundwater movement, general groundwater movement, now you become a significant concern. Not changing the actual area, but allowing the area to be massaged in such a way, wrong words, refined in such a way that you really pin down the impact and not bog you guys down and ladies with, you know, public testimony for and against where the impact is negligible.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
So I think that would fall under the determination if a review of the existing ordinance is needed.
You're in my head, right. Janelle. See,
so exactly I think it's covered under that strategy.
I think it is covered, but
let's be specific on it, though, because that would be forgotten.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you have any suggested language?
That'd be allow a case-by-case analysis of the wellhead protection area based on general groundwater movement. And that's really the issue here.
And that would be added to 8213, kind of reword that. And then if we wanted to, we might add a strategy to consider using natural resource preservation money to buy easements in those areas identified.
I was going to go back to your point, Marty, about the forestry easements. Do you think that's covered under 8212, though? I mean, we talk about land conservation and water recharge areas.
You could maybe add some words in there to include it in there or add another strategy, whichever.
But do you think land conservation is broad enough that we don't need to call it out?
I mean, the thought would be that it's cheaper to buy the development rights and the farming rights and let the landowner retain the forestry rights, which is an excellent place to the excellent use for a wellhead protection area. And then it leaves the maintenance and the economic opportunity to the landowner and all that without a burden on the county. Of course, you can't force a landowner to participate, but by opening that door, it's a great place to spend our natural resource preservation dollars for public use.
Alexis, that's very similar to what council authorizes, has been authorizing for years, is the purchase of downstream properties and or rights, just like Chairman says, of legacy landfills.
Right. It's just spreading our money out further by using easements versus simple fee purchase. But and then there was one other item, just for clarity. Hans, did you think anything about the water supply allocation language in the narrative at all? Or
no, you and I, you Chairman and I fully agree that Sussex County, will not run out of groundwater in our lifetimes. And let's look around. That includes the youngest person in the room. We're not going to have any water supply issues. And when you look at these numbers, let's look at numbers again. When you look at that surplus / deficit, that speaks to that does not speak to the groundwater supply. It speaks to the available treatment and distribution capacity. And so we want to make sure that this does not get confused, and because otherwise, you know, somebody may look at it, there is a deficit in the Rehoboth Beach area. Oh.
That's how I read it. I was confused.
Yeah, we're worried that the public is going to say, "Oh man, we're going to run out of water." No, we're not going to run out of water, but it's an issue, and it's not an issue of allocation. It's an issue of pumping capacity and distribution, if I'm wording that correctly.
I guess my question when I read it is, do we need this in there?
I don't know. I mean, Hans, you have to tell me how important you feel that is as a piece of information to the public and the comp plan.
I mean, is it something that can say, you know, that we don't have a...
That we have adequate groundwater?
Supply.
We just make the statement.
I mean, I was wondering, why do we pick and choose? Half the water suppliers are in and the other half's not. So, yeah. You know, that was sort of...
Maybe get rid of it.
I don't think you need it.
And make a broader statement.
Excellent. I don't think you need it. Just take it out and make the statement.
So 8-2-4 table, take it out?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, that's the end. That's,
What I think what we might do, Alexis, is I might, as long as Kim is willing to work pro bono as she has thus far, and Vince gets paid. I don't understand how that works, nevertheless. But if Kim is willing to review it and use her writing abilities to try to tighten up some of the language.
And Josh, can you help us out with this a little bit?
So that's, we won't act on it today. We'll try to let them do their magic. We'll run it by Hans again to make sure we haven't substantially changed anything inadvertently. And then
do you think this, this isn't written by the PhD, this was written by us. Do you think this one needs tightened? I know it's 30 pages, but there's a lot more material in this than was in the 08 plan.
I don't want to speak for Kim or Vince, but I think we can reduce it a little bit.
I didn't read it thinking it was really overstated.
I tried to be short and sweet on this.
I mean, we can go through it, but it's not like that.
There's just a lot of material because your 08 plan only dealt with water and sewer.
Yeah.
I added in, electric and natural gas and, waste.
I'm not criticizing the
writing
of it.
No, I'm just saying, if you want to tighten it even shorter, I just don't know what I'd cut, you know?
We'll put a fresh set of eyes on it. We'll see what we come up with.
There's 20 pages or so of text. And like she said, we added solid waste, stormwater management, stuff that wasn't there. I didn't read it as being text-wise. There was too much. But the charts, like I said, I think we can ditch that one in particular. I had a question like we talked about on the aquifer one. But we can take a look at it. I agree with you, Mr. Ross. So I think this one's pretty close to final. And we'll be able to get it
I don't think we're going to see huge changes.
But you have to cut all the stuff out to meet the Wilson rule.
And add one, here I am, a tree farmer, wanting to cut out language of a printed document. I should be wanting to add pages, that's silliness.
Yeah.
And there was that one strategy we talked about this morning about looking at, and Hans, this is the one that I had sent out with you and Gina about considering, extending water and sewer to impacted communities if it's within the confines of the code. So that's going to get added into in this chapter as a crossover.
Okay.
After significant editing, we are allowed to go forward.
Yes, we edited it many times to get the language just right. So don't go and change it again, Marty.
It's still draft. The public might demand changes. Any other questions of Hans while we're here from the commission?
Okay.
If not, thank you, sir. We appreciate your input.
Great. It's been a pleasure. It's been an interesting process. My second comp plan.
You have a lot in your head, don't you?
That's why he's so skinny. He's burning all that energy in his brain cells. Okay.
I think we might see Hans again for future land use. So.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the end.
If I may take the opportunity.
Sure.
I had the pleasure to attend the DNREC public hearing last night.
All right.
For the proposed facility permit amendment in Milton for artesian wastewater resources. And it was interesting to note that you can go to a public hearing where you have a lot of expertise in the room, but because the public hearing is so structured, it is with a hearing officer, with a court recorder, with signed up speakers, so that, it's almost, I could see it build up how I have to be very careful what I say, that information which is scientifically suspect gets then used by the next speaker, by the next speaker, and by the next speaker. And it almost seems to become truth, undeniable scientific truth. And, I felt that maybe, and because the first speaker called for this independent review outside of the permitting agency and the applicant. And when you said about the wellhead protection, so Janelle may alert me, and I will exercise my right as reminded by Commissioner Hopkins to be here to, if this thing gets out of hand like this one last night did, I think you do need a third party opinion just to get it back to at least a level field where you don't end up with, in the end, just because it's been repeated five times doesn't make it so. That was an interesting experience.
What time did it wrap up?
It was only under two hours, but because it was so structured, you know, because we engaged the public testimony. The DNRC hearings don't engage. It's just like you say, and then you know, like almost like the next speaker listened, and then I can do better.
Say it in a better way. More.
It was very, very interesting.
Mr. Wheatley has to leave and make some money. I saw two young ladies walk in. If you're interested in public comment, you can come forward. We did take public comment earlier because we were running ahead of the schedule, but we don't want to cut you out. If you want to comment.
Hans. Take care, man.
Thanks, Hans. If you have a public comment to make, you're welcome to come forward now.